I turned on a little red button. So anyhow, but yeah, if we would not just tell the story with our mouths, but tell the story with our lives.
That's right.
You know, that's where it's going to make a difference. Loving people the way that we're supposed to. And having this grip on reality. As we're about ready to start this book, these writings of Solomon, the preacher, it's the words of the preacher, amen. And as he's going to lay out to us the reality of life, this is a great book of wisdom. And if anything, as I've gone through this book over and over and over these last couple of weeks, I try to read it every day. It's only 12 chapters. It doesn't take that long. And you read through it, you read through it, you look at it. And the more you read it, the deeper it gets.
Amen.
You know,
that's right.
It's kind of like going out on the ocean in a rowboat. You think that you're deep. When you get to the end of the pier, you ain't even touched deep yet, you know. And the more you look into this, the more real the preacher is telling us things, the deeper and the more sincere he is about it. When you first read it or when you first open it up, you almost feel like it's a depressing book. But it's really not. I mean, there are things about it what's depressing about it is it's real, all right? It's real life. That's what's depressing about it, because we are not in heaven yet, right? But at the end of the book, you know, we'll get to that last verse in about 6 months. But we will get there, and there's great hope, and there's great hope throughout the whole scripture here as we get into it. Let's go to the Lord, Father. We thank you so much. We thank you for your love, your grace, your wisdom. We thank you for the time that we have this evening to go through the Word of God. And as we open this knowledge up, Father, fill our minds, our hearts, make questions, Father. Help us to search your scripture diligently, that we might find the truths that are laid within. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. So the one who's addressing the assembly, which would be Solomon here, he says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king, our king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labors which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hastens to the place where he arose. The wind goeth towards the south, and turneth about into the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to its circuits. All the rivers run into the sea. Yea, the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Amen. We're going to back up and we're going to talk about that just for a minute. This vanity, this nothingness, this absurdness, as the preacher's talking, he says, vanity of vanity. Say, all is vanity. It's all worthless. It's all, when you look at the way things are, you find no profit in it. You look at the way the world is and the way the world was. There seems to be, it's in a circuit, it's in a cycle. Nothing is new under the sun. All of these things that we think are new, all of these things that are flashy and exciting, it's not something that hasn't been done before. The sin of man is the same, and the saving grace of God is the same. The mercy of God has not changed, and the wickedness of the flesh has not relented. Seems like there's no stop to the cycle. It's just around and around. Kind of like a hamster in a cage, right? Running on the wheel. Y'all ever have one? Durable for some of you. And me, 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 me. And they're just going around, around, around. Boy, they're trying so hard, but they're
lawnmower.
not going anywhere. Folks ask me how I'm doing. I say, well, I'm running 100 miles an hour, but I feel like I'm going nowhere. And it's true. Amen? How often do you feel like the day just, it's over before it's even began? You get up early in the morning as the sun's rising, or in the wintertime, it's hours before the sun rises up here. But you wake up in the morning, and the sun's just coming up, and before you know it, the sun's going back down. And what have you done all day? You've worked, you've labored, maybe you've built some, you helped people in the hospital, you did the thing that you do. But tomorrow morning, the same thing needs to be done. It's kind of like the rivers that always run to the sea, but the sea is never filled. It just starts a cycle, and it goes back up, and it starts back down, and it goes back up, and it starts back down. I was going to talk in a few minutes about how a man comes into the world. When he dies, he's forgotten. Think of how many people in that graveyard right over the road here are really remembered. We, in our history books, we remember a few people. We might have somebody that's dear to our heart, but how many people here know my grandfather? Right? Or my dad. Right? Nobody. Yeah. Right? And when I die, there you might remember me for a few moments. But I mean, because we're all going to do that. And your name's going to be disappeared. It's going to be a mark on a tombstone somewhere. Mm-hmm. Here lies Curtis Fitz, husband of Debbie, you know, pastored for a while. And there's going to be a dash. And then there's going to be an end date. Mm-hmm. Everything I ever do is just held up in that dash. You got something, sweetheart?
Well, I think sometimes some people aren't forgotten because, like, people like Miss Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, right. They just aren't forgotten.
Mm-hmm. That, now, what happens when we pass away? Yeah. We'll remember her, right? As long as I have breath, I'm going to remember Miss Mary.
That's right.
As long as you have breath, you're going to remember me. But when I pass away, your children may hear stories of me, but after that, those stories are going to fade away. Unless they're reminded to us, like George Washington or somebody, or Christ. That's the only name that's really going to last throughout all of the generations of the world. That's the name at where every knee is going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. That name's going to stand out in history for eternity. He's not, amen. You're right. He's not dead.
And we,
right?
And we all live in him.
Yeah, and we all live in him. So our identity, instead of worrying about what the world's going to do, because the world's going to do what the world does, the cycles are going to keep going, make our identity be Christ.
I think this book, it's a very somber book, and that it's taking people away from their selfies.
Come on, man.
You better look at what's like right in front of your snoop, mm-hmm. and understand this is all coming to an end.
Yes.
And nobody's going to remember
your
name.
Yes.
Only the Lord.
Right.
That's right.
Only the Lord.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the great reality.
Yeah.
And everything else under the sun.
Everything else under. And he talks about the sun being in a circuit. So it travels in its path that it goes. It raises on one side and it sets on the other. The moon raises on one side and it sets on the other. The rivers all pour down to the sea. Now, when I read that, I said, man, that is so true. Yeah. Think about how many rivers pour out into the ocean. All of them, eventually. The oceans never fill. You know why? Because God said, you will come this far, and you'll stop. Amen? There may be tsunamis or tidal waves or stuff like that. They may go a few bits in or out. But pretty much, the ocean stays put. The mountains pretty much stay put. You know why? Because God set that boundary there. He said, this far and no further. Yep. Lucifer will stay put. He says, this far and no further. Mm-hmm. A nation will only be a nation that's remembered as long as they stand with God.
Yeah.
Quick as that nation turns against God, that nation, that governmental system rises, turns away from God, and it crumbles. You may remember the name of it, but outside of Caesar, how many Roman rulers do you know? Not many. How many folks that work?
Diocletian.
Huh?
Diocletian.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, a few. You might know one or two, right?
Yeah.
But you've only learned those through somebody wrote his name down somewhere. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, just thinking how profound this
book is for today.
Yeah, come on.
We strive to get ahead, to go places that nobody's ever been before.
Yeah.
And yet, you've got a family you don't see.
Oh, amen.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm too tired. I just worked 14 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to bed so I can do it again tomorrow.
Right. Yep. Oh, wow. Joshua told me something a while back. He said, there's always enough work. There's always, no matter how much work you do today, you go to sleep, you don't spend time with your family like you're talking about, you don't spend time that really means something, you don't invest that time in loving and helping and cherishing people, you just work. And you know what? Tomorrow you'll get up and there's just as much work there as there is today.
You know, the person that I bought the house up that I'm in now, I used to work for him. I was becoming a senior. And I said, I'm not going to play football this year. He goes, really? He goes, why? And I says, well, I'm going to work. He goes, really? Where are you going to work? I said, well, I got a job here. He goes, not if you don't play football. Because work will always be here.
Yeah.
This is your last year of football. Go play football.
Yeah.
And this guy, I mean, this is a farmer.
Right.
You need that person to be there in the morning to milk the cows. We'll do without you for this season.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
That is
nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And praise God for that,
yeah.
You know, because the little things are the things that's going to matter. What's going to, you know what makes us remember Mary as
Deanna,
thank you. Did you say that the name fell off the page?
What's her name?
That Deanna talked about, Miss Mary. You know why we remember her in such fond ways? Is the way that she loved everybody she touched, right? And that love is really what keeps her fresh in her mind.
Yeah.
It's not that... She didn't have her faults, you know. She had one. The rest of them were pretty bad. She was a lovely lady, and she loved immensely in her abilities. And so, so he says in verse 4, one generation passes away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The things, here's what I'm thinking, all right. This earth is going to remain forever. Global warming ain't happening until Jesus burns it all with the fervent heat. That's the only global warming we got to worry about. Up until then, everything's going to remain the same. If you go back in just our lifetime, how many things have happened that have changed, that have really changed anything? Does anybody remember acid rain?
Yes.
All right? Acid rain was going to come, it's going to... Everybody's face is going to melt off, right? The ozone was going away, right? You're going to burn to death in your sleep in the middle of the night. The ozone's going to kill you. The light ozone's going to kill you. All right? We've got to stop doing paper bags so we can do plastic bags. That was a genius move, wasn't it? Yeah. Paper bags would biodegrade, right? Plastic bags go to the ocean and live forever. Ask any dolphin. Go ahead, sir.
Why did they, after they did that, why are they going back to, like, paper?
Paper, yeah. Well, now they can charge you for paper. They used to give them to you.
That's true. Well, because plastic is a petroleum, and they don't want us using petroleum.
There you go.
That's true.
And then something else. They say that we're going to run out of oil. We're never going to run out of oil, because oil doesn't come from dinosaur bones.
That's right. That's right.
You know that the earth... redoes oil just like it does water.
That's right. You know, it's amazing that the press doesn't want you to know that.
Yeah. Exactly.
The press also doesn't want you to know that the American public has cut down on CO2 emissions tremendously.
Tremendously.
And we are going towards electric, but it might take 20 or 30 years to really get there.
Yeah.
But they're not going to tell you that either. They want you to change today.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to happen today.
And where does the electricity come from?
Oil and gas.
Oil and gas.
Generation.
Right? So, all right, you drive your little stupid car or fancy car up to the place where you plug it in. Right? And you plug it in, and it takes hours to charge. Right? If you plug it into your house just on your regular 110, there's the way to make this work. So you own a home and you got your electric car and you want to plug it up at your house. You've got to have a centralized or a circuit dedicated for it for 400 amps or volts. Okay. Now that costs $1,500 to install. Now every time you plug into it, guess what happens to your electric meter? They got to put that expensive oil that they use in the windmills in it to keep the bearings from burning out. Right? It just, it's crazy. It's never going to work. Go ahead, Seth.
If you think about the carbon dioxide released from, like, gas, I'm pretty sure it's released by the gas from, like, the cars.
Uh-huh.
If good for the leaves or plants.
Yeah.
Then why don't we try and get rid of it?
Right. Because, well, smart people ain't, sweetheart. You got a good mind on your shoulder. You are the future of America, right? And you keep thinking that way.
The only thing I know thinking. Is because right now we're in science, we're learning about how leaves make photosynthesis, their own food.
Right.
And they use carbon dioxide and water.
Right.
And if there isn't any carbon dioxide, then
the plants
how are they going to make food?
Right. And so it's wonderful. So you understand the circuit that he's talking about.
Yeah.
The rivers run to the ocean, but the ocean never gets filled. The rivers never run dry, and it circles back around. The oxygen, the carbon out. They're talking about the footprint that we're going to make, that we're going to melt the, well, actually, first it was freeze, right? So because there's acid rain, all right? Mm-hmm. Then there was the polar...
Ice caps
were melting. No, it was freezing over. We're going to have another ice age.
Yes.
All right, remember that? Because it's acid rain, then there's an ice age. And now it's no longer an ice age, it's global warming. All right, and now it's no longer global warming, it's just climate change, which, if I'm not mistaken, every 4 months the climate changes. Right? And so, but anyhow, in my lifetime, these were the things that they said that were going to happen and it was going to destroy the whole earth. The earth still stands. We have in Scripture right here, the earth will remain.
That's right.
Earth is going to remain. Yep. Even after the fervent burning, the earth is going to remain. It'll be rejuvenated, it'll be new, but it's going to remain. The ball in space, or the disk in space, whichever way you want to call it. You know, you say, what a flat earther! Yeah. And I'm not going to get into that, you know, because that gives people like, yeah. We want to get to the next verse, you know. So, but anyhow, you look at that and the stupidity of science saying that the Bible isn't true, that you're going to die. If I'm not mistaken, acid rain was supposed to destroy all of the globe in 20 years, and that was 40 years ago. Okay? In fact, what did they say? Global warming, Ocasio Cortez. Isn't that her name? Ocasio Cortez?
AOC.
Yeah, that's a girl. Anyhow, that Cortez chick. She said that by 2035, the oceans are going to rise by 20 feet. It better hurry up. That's all I'm knowing. You know, because right now the ice caps on the northern and the southern poles have extended themselves like 30,000 miles, bigger than what they were last year. Okay, so, but we're in global warming.
The only problem with that theory is that this globe has been around for millions of years.
Or at least 6,000.
At least 6,000.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And if you go back and study,
yes,
the global history,
right,
the Earth's temperature goes up and goes down, and a lot of it has to do with the explosions on the sun.
Yes. Yep.
And a lot of people don't understand that, and it's just not the carbon dioxide and cows flatulating.
Right. Well, think about this. They have found woolly mammoths, frozen solid, that still have food unchewed in their mouth. Okay, in Siberia. It's recorded. So they were doing like elephants do. So they're picking grass, they're eating it. They're picking grass, they're eating it.
Yep.
Climate change happened. Now, it happened.
Yeah.
And they froze solid before they could chew the food that was in their mouth. An elephant. That's climate change. And the funny thing is, there were no cars. There wasn't one bus on the highway. You know, it's so inconceivably foolish to believe what they're telling us is true.
Well, we can sum it up with 1 Corinthians 3:19.
Come on.
For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
Amen. That's true. That's true. And it is. What we know from this is that there's a cycle of life that's going to continue. You know, the rivers are going to run to the ocean. The sun's going to move in its circuit. The moon is going to move in her circuit. Everything's going to go like it's going to go. And there's nothing that's going to stop it. The earth is going to spin at so many thousands of miles an hour that it spins in. And that's just what it's going to do. Nothing's going to change. There'll all be seasons. There'll be a summer and a spring and a winter. I said that backwards. A spring and a summer and a fall and a winter. And it's going to do that perpetually. It's not going to stop. So when the scientists tell you, be afraid. Well, here you go. Be afraid because the oceans are going to rise. Everybody who's not a politician, move away from the Gulf so we can buy your house. Right? Isn't that what they did? Obama, he has like 7 houses on the beach that are huge. They block out the sun. Bernie Sanders, right? He's got this huge house right on the beach. Pelosi, all of them. You know, Biden has wonderful vacation homes in Martha's Vineyard, right? Well, wait a second. If they were really concerned that in 10 years from now, because Miss Cortez said that in 12 years that it was all going to be flooded out, they're still gobbling up this real estate on the beach.
It's amazing to me what a bartender can tell you.
Tally up to the bars, boy. I got a story for you. And so...
You got to thank them because they don't want us to be in the trouble that they're going to get in.
Yeah.
That's why they bought the property.
That's why they bought the property. Yes. They're saving us. Yeah. Absolutely. In verse 8 it says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. All right. Man cannot wrap his mind around all of the labor that has to be done. You can't speak of all the labor that has to be done. Who here can testify? It's spring. Right? Amen, brother? How much stuff we got to do? It does not stop. It doesn't stop. Yeah, just started. And then it's going to freeze, and it's still going to go on. Right? The labor is full. There's plenty. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Isn't that true? I always want to see something different. I always want to hear something better.
That's one of the first lies that came up was back in 1963 with the start of the computer. By the year 2000, man will work half days and be bored with life.
Yeah.
Are you bored with life yet?
Yeah, that's right. Wait.
The work, no more work, only half days.
George Jetson. His wife. His boy, Elroy. Hey, y'all remember that? The Jetsons, the opposite of the Flintstones, right? The Jetsons, right? Their little car would be flying around space, all that kind of stuff. He still had to go to work. And they had the little robot made and all that kind of stuff. And that was all supposed to be done by now. I know it was a cartoon. But it was... A thought process that they were brainwashing the children with. The same thing. So the eye is not satisfied, the ear is never full of hearing. One thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is nothing new under the sun. All of these things that they're trying to warn us and scare us and boogie-boo us about has already come around, right? It's already come around. We talked about the woolly mammoths freezing. Was there climate change? Oh, yeah. Absolutely there was. You know, but it's not what we think it is. It is a circuit, all right? It's like Brother Rich was talking about. An explosion on the sun sent gamma rays and X-rays over the Earth's planet, and it messed up the upper atmosphere,
right,
and things changed. Or there'd be a volcano erupts, and well, we saw that during Mount St. Helens. Most of us here remember Mount St. Helens when it erupted, right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, the interesting thing is, all those trees that blew over and they fell into Spirit Lake, guess what they are today? Coal.
Yeah.
They're charcoal. They're coal. All right? I was taught in school that it took millions and billions and trillions of years to make coal. Turns out that they were wrong, because I am not nearly millions and billions and trillions of years old. And at the bottom of Spirit Lake, right now, there are miles. I don't know how many miles. They looked it out. The trees that fell down in there are turned into coal. And another thing that's really super interesting, when the ash came and it covered the land, they have found fossilized animals. Deer. Covered in ash and turned into stone.
And the strata, too.
And the strata. What, yeah.
From 1982, wasn't it, I think, to now, we
have
all this defined strata.
Yes.
And evolutionists would come along and say, these define periods of Earth's history.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah. No.
It's when it...
Is when the water
process, the cracks form,
yes,
they go into rock, you got your fossils.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the canyon was formed from the mud water flow from Spirit Lake.
Yeah.
1/40 scale model of the Grand Canyon carved out of solid rock in one day.
One day.
So the Grand Canyon was not a little bit of water over a long period of time.
No.
It was a whole lot of water over a very short
period of time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know what makes that? A flood.
Yes.
The same
example as when they, remember when all the oil spilled in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes.
They said it's going to destroy all the fish and the fowl.
Yeah.
And guess what? In a number of years, the earth healed itself.
Yes.
And took care of all that oil.
All
in the
absolutely.
Ocean.
Absolutely.
And the beaches are fine right
they're,
now.
They're
the
pristine.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know the only scientist I've heard say that? Rush Limbaugh.
Right, amen.
He's not a scientist. Yes, but I heard that, and he was absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's the only voice I heard that said that.
That's right.
That's right.
Yep.
And so, because there are some folks who believe the media's strain, the narrative of the moment, and they get afraid, right? They get scared. So
is that where they get the tablets from?
Yes.
You think you and Moses went up and got the tablets?
Uh-huh.
Don't they do that with CNN? You go up and get the tablets from CNN.
We're getting quite political.
Amen. Or they think they do. The God that they're going to get their tablets from, those tablets are made out of mud.
That's right.
All right, and they're made with a little G God. And so they're not the tablets that matter, but yeah, you're right.
We could start our website with all this information.
We could. Well, actually, this
Let's
is
join the party, right?
This is considered hate speech. What we're talking right here, this opening up the mind, right, and really looking at what history that we know.
Yes.
Now, we're not going back 100 years where none of us were alive. We're just going back to the 80s,
yep,
right? And I know some of us weren't. One, two, when were you born? 89.
89.
Okay. So he would remember. Yeah, she would remember. No. she's little. And so, but we remember these things. It's not far off. It's not far-fetched. And it's not new. None of this stuff is new. Right? We think that this is all new information, that it's flashy things. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. Everything has run its circuit at least once, or at least twice. You know? And
you just gave Deanna a good example of the cemetery.
Mm. Yes.
She would have never known this information if we wouldn't have brought it up.
Right.
Right?
Amen. Yeah. That your whole life on the cemetery tombstone is contained in a quarter-inch dash,
yeah,
between born on and left on day. You know, that's your whole life. In fact, Scripture says your life is but a vapor. It's here for a moment and it passes away. There's verse 10, and says, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of the former things, neither shall be there any remembrance of the things that are to come, and those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This is a sore travail. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen. There's that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. All right, think about that. That which is crooked can't be made straight. You cannot straighten your own life up. If you're a crooked person, you can't do it. Who can?
God.
Amen? You've got to get right with God. You've got to get back to the Bible way. Oh, man, this is so great. Or I think it's great. It just popped into my head. To me, it was really cool. I'm going to tell it to you. It might be cool to you, too. This whole transgender thing that's happening right now, do you know that this isn't the first time that this has happened? Look back in ancient Roman history. All right, the same exact thing was happening. The Greeks had the same problem. The Egyptians had the same problem. In deepest, darkest Africa, they had the same problem. You know what it is? Sin. Mm-hmm. It's the man thinking that he has the right to decide what he is. And we don't.
God decides.
God decides. Amen. He made the game. That way he gets to choose the rules that are in the game, right? He put it all together. He set things in motion in a certain way. And that motion will not stop. It's going to go on. When God says it shall last forever, guess how long it's going to last?
Forever.
Forever. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not going to stop. These circuits of things, until God makes sin go away, it's going to remain the same. Mm-hmm. There's wickedness that's going to rise. There's goodness that's going to rise. We're in a season right now here in this nation where we're seeing the same things that happened to Israel 4,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, when they, the time of the judges, when they raised up a generation that knew not God. And then God sent in wave after wave after wave of different nations to prove them, to test them, to see if they would follow after God. And they would for a time. Amen. He was doing it to bring them back. He had sent judges. So they would sin greatly. God would send chastisement to them. They would repent. They would call out to God. Then God would send a judge. They would come to the judge and say, yes, judge, they are judges, so I'll call them judges. When I think of judges, it's not like judges on the court, the so-called Supreme Court, which, listen, people, we have, there is one Supreme Court, and it's not the nine goofballs that set up in Washington.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Our Supreme Court has one judge in it, and his name is Jehovah.
And he's the judge and jury.
He is the judge and the jury.
And he will make the right choice.
Every time.
Just.
So in these cycles of things, there's nothing that surprises God because he was here before it all. The only time that this is going to stop is when God finally does away with the sin nature that Adam caused. There will be a time on this earth where there will be no more sin. There will be. I plan on being there. Alright? I plan on being there. How do I know I'm going to be there? I'm going to adjust my life to what this word says. I'm not going to expect. That's a good enough word. There's another one in there somewhere, but it wouldn't come out, so no sense trying to force it. I like squeezing ketchup bottles. You ever do that? Especially if it's a glass one, it doesn't work. But if it's a glass one, you just normally make a mess, right? Where did that come from?
It's just
Again, it's that time, right? My wife is saying,
shut up, Frank! Shut up, Frank!
No, she's not. Again, I do this, guys. And my wife, I'm sorry. I am, because I put my thoughts into her brain, and they don't fit. I look at her, she has an expression, I say, I know what that means. And she, no, I don't. There's nothing new in the sun. And so, how many of you guys have done that?
Done what?
Looked, well, I'm talking to the men, shouldn't be you.
Oh.
Looked at your wife and saw an expression on her face, and you thought you knew what it meant. Oh, yeah. We don't. We don't. And so, anyhow, the former things are not going to be remembered. This is what Scripture said. Is there any thing, therefore, it may be said, see, this is new? Let me ask you, do you think this is new? We have lost more technology than we have today. Do you understand that? They made pyramids out of stones that weighed... we can't pick up the weight of those stones with a modern crane. Go ahead, brother.
I climbed in those pyramids.
Oh, did you?
And I will tell you, today, scientists still don't know how, outside of thousands of slaves,
yeah,
pulling those stones with ropes.
Right.
They don't know how they got the stones to fit so perfectly.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, they've taken some of the stones off the pyramids to rebuild buildings.
Yeah.
But they can never fit them together as perfectly as they did when the pyramids were perfectly first built.
Yeah.
That goes to show you that science...
It's Genesis 6.
Amen. No,
it's Genesis true. 6.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I was there.
Yeah.
I saw it.
You know, and I've seen the pictures of the pyramids in South America that the Aztecs built. All right. Yep. They have these granite stones that are melted
That's
into
right.
place.
That's right.
How do you melt granite?
Sons of God going to the daughters of
welder.
Welder with a welder.
You think they had a welder now?
Yeah. That's right. So, well, you look at that, and you can find the pictures. They're out there. They have granite stones bigger than this stage.
Shaped like a puzzle.
Shaped like a puzzle. And they fit together. And we're not talking square. We're talking rounded.
Like it was molded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks like it was heated and poured into place. We lost something in the translation. We can't do that anymore. We can't even move those stones anymore. And they were doing it without hydraulics. And again, with slaves, all right, slaves and ropes. Do you know how many slaves it would take to pull a granite square block 1,000 feet in the air and place it perfectly?
Maybe that's why the earth was flooded.
Well, we do know that when Babel, when all the nations, well, they weren't nations, the people came together, they had one language.
Yeah.
And they tried to build a tower to the sky, a ziggurat, a pyramid, to the sky, that they could be like God. And God said, let's go down and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
He says, listen, I'm going to mess you guys up. You speak German, you speak French, you speak Indian, and now find who you belong to and go there.
They wanted to break through the throne.
You know,
yeah.
You know, when I was there, they said there are pyramids under the sand they have yet to find.
Yes. I saw when I was doing this, I was doing some crazy looking at pyramids and stuff, because I knew I was going to talk a little bit about it. They have pyramids in the ocean. There's a pyramid in the Antarctic. All right? And they have satellite pictures of this. It is larger than the pyramids in Egypt. It's a huge, massive thing. Go ahead.
You know, you just brought up the Antarctic. Kevin Williams gave a piece of information about the Antarctic today that nobody had ever guessed. But it snows less in the Antarctic than it does in Memphis, Tennessee.
Really?
The only difference is it does not melt. It stays.
Yeah.
So they don't get much snow, but whatever snow they get, it just keeps building up.
Building up, yeah.
Wow.
The ocean water freezes underneath it, right?
Amen. Yeah. And you look at that until it gets so deep, until the ice is so deep, and then the pressure of the ice heats up the water. You know that the water underneath the ice sheet is warmer than the water that's on top of the water beside the ice sheet? Because the pressure of the ice causes heat to come underneath it.
Well, And remember, I gave you that, you read it.
Yeah.
About China, 600 feet down.
Yes.
There's a whole trees growing and green leaves.
This 600 is feet. A province in China. They have these sinkholes. A new one just opened up about a month ago. It was May 6th, I think. A new one opened up, so there's a mountain and a hole, a sinkhole fell. And they found trees that they only have examples of in fossils living underneath it. All right, how's that happen? 640 feet deep.
And how does it happen without the sun getting to it?
Correct.
Still growing, still alive. And they have pictures, they got video of it. It's phenomenal.
And I was just amazed that scientists would shimmy down 600 feet.
600 feet, yeah. Exactly. You know? And they don't even know what kind of life is down there except for these trees that are supposed to be extinct, you know, a gazillion, million, trillion years ago, which we know the Bible says 6,000. I don't know. Did God build the earth, everything in it, in six literal days, and on the seventh day rested? Okay. I believe that. I don't think it took millions and billions and trillions of years, and I don't think it was a comet streaking across the universe and some comet dust fell into an acidic pool. You've heard my spiel about this before. Right? Well, the reason I say that, that's what Segar, what was that guy? He's a scientist.
Didn't say that.
Yeah, God didn't say
that. Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan, yeah. Sagan. Whatever, Carl. The idiot, the scientist. Yeah. Go ahead, sis.
That just made me think of the verse, with God all things are possible, like the what you said about the life lives under the ground.
Yeah.
Only God can.
Only God can make that happen. See, we have this understanding that it's only what we see.
Yeah.
And everything has to fit inside the Truth Project. We think everything fits inside the box. Well, God is outside of the box. To Him, there is no box. We have it all messed up. And here in this, and Solomon, he said he went to find the wisdom of everything. And you want, there's that funny bone. You said it wasn't funny.
Oh, hey, it ain't funny, man.
Well, they could have done now. Wow.
Ooh, ouch.
And that was a good one right there in the corner, too. Oh, I'm not going to have to write for a while. Boy, that still feels weird.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to call an ambulance and say you got hurt preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get hurt in his tongue, right? Yeah.
Preaching from Ecclesiastes. The preacher.
He said he gave his heart to search out by wisdom concerning all the things that are done under heaven. Alright? And he had the wherewithal to do it. Remember before Solomon became the king, God said, ask what you want. You can have treasures, you can have all the things this world provides. I'll give it to you. I love you. I want to bless you. And he said, just give me wisdom. All I want, God, is wisdom. Just help me know your word. Help me fear your name. Help me walk in understanding. And God said, you got it. And then I'm going to give you all the other stuff to go along with it. He took all that he could afford, and he could afford everything. He said, I'm going to search these things out. And next week we'll get into some of the things he sought out in the way that he went searching them out. And at the end of it, he said, It's nothing. It's going to pass away. The seven wonders of the world back in that time, the Hanging Gardens.
Babylon.
That it was one of the seven wonders of the world. You can't even find a vine from that. And it was one of the seven wonders of the world. How did they get the Hanging Gardens to hang? I don't know. They're just hanging around. I don't know. But you can't find any bit of it left. We know that it was here because it's written in all kind of historical books outside of the Bible. I mean, it was written all over the... now you're going to go into all the books who wrote that. He said, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. You know, you can never fill up your want. Every time you want something, you think you got it, you want something else. You know, when is enough enough?
With God.
Amen. With God. That's the right answer. With God. Now, the guy who built the big wooden airplane, the goose, the flying goose, or the one wounded goose, he was a Howard Hughes, yeah. He was asked one time, how much is enough? You have a gazillion $1,000,000. How much is enough? He said, just a little more. All needs a little more. Had more money than you can imagine. How much? Just a little more. That's all I need. If I have a little more, I'll be satisfied. No matter how much you got, his wanting was never going to be filled. When he died alone. Wanting. Never fulfilled. Anyhow. This is something to think about. Vanity of vanities, that's the preacher. So what do y'all think? Good book? Good book? And it will get you to thinking. I challenge you. Read it every week or every day during the week. It doesn't take that long. I'm a slow reader and I can do it in like 5-10 minutes. Right? It's not that hard to do. I say read it and hold on to chapter 12.
Because you're going to tie it up.
Amen. It ties it up. A nice little bow at the end. But we're gonna work through this thing one line at a time until we get to there. I just want to let you know that there's great hope. Go ahead.
That phrase, under the sun, I think that appears 29 times.
Yes, in the book. Yeah.
Under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and that's just that particular phrase right there. I'd like to really understand what that means. You know. I mean, I know it's this life, in this life, but there's probably something deeper.
Well, there's probably everything under Christ. Yeah. Anything under the omnipresence of God, anything under Him. He set up cycles, right? He set up the way things were going to be born. He made male and female, period, of every species, of every kind. And it just male and female.
There's a couple of things he said that I saw this was from the hand of God.
Yeah.
That it was God's blessing to a person.
Amen. And some of those things were not what we would think are favorable, but it was still God's blessing. You know, it may be rough, but you know you're still in God's blessing, even if it doesn't go your way. It's pretty cool because when God created everything, He didn't say, "Hey, Wendy, which side should the roots go on the tree, up or down?"
Were you there?
Yeah. Right. Amen. And he asked in Job, "Were you there?"
That's right.
Right. Anyhow, I love you guys. Who wants to close in prayer? Anybody feel that? Go ahead.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, the book, it is a somber book, and it's a book that I think brings in balance. It brings a clarity to our thoughts about life. And Lord, the fact that eternity waits, and this is the great reality. Eternity is a great reality, and this is very temporary. And yet, Lord, for all that we do, we are accountable in this life. Lord, I pray that this book would be a blessing, Lord, and the work of Your Holy Spirit would be manifested in our lives. And speak to us, Lord, individually, that we would apply these words of truth. It's Your word, Lord. It's true. And we need to understand, and we need to join alongside Solomon in this last book that he wrote, which is a very sober and somber book. He'd seen an awful lot. He had done an awful lot. I think he regretted an awful lot. And we need to hearken unto the words of a man who was the wisest man who ever walked on the face of the earth. He had more wisdom than anyone that has ever lived. And at the end of his life, he wrote this this somber book, this serious and just a kind of a melancholy book, and it helps us to understand as we see through his eyes, as Lord, he sends that message to us, Lord, from so long ago. And things haven't changed. We, although we live thousands of years later and so on, and still same old problems, same old human dilemma. And at the end of it all, we need to, what is the duty of man? Obey God. Hear him. Obey you. Yes. Walk with you. Love the Lord Jesus Christ. Abide in truth. Walk in the light as you are in the light. And I pray, Lord, that you apply it to our lives, each of us, and where we need it to be done, Lord, wherever your work needs to be done. And I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. You know, I was telling you, go to the last chapter, go to the last chapter. Let me just read to you what the last two verses are. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Isn't that a good spot? After everything I say, this is the conclusion of the whole matter.
Yeah.
Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Yeah.
You know what we have forgotten to do in America? Fear God and keep his commandments.
That's a spoiler.
It is. Yeah. Actually, I think as we go through this, I'm probably going to close every lesson with this. Because this is the conclusion of the whole matter. No matter what we talk about, this is what we must do.
The wisest man ever lived.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, separate from Jesus.